Just like to read a couple of scriptures and with a little comment in connection with young men. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. And verse 12. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, should say children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally or sincerely or genuinely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so as I shall see how, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And then just turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Just for a verse there, I'm going to take it slightly out of context, but chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, verse 29, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. And then we'll just read one other little passage in Acts chapter 20. In verse 4. Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. Well, I read these various scriptures because we have brought before us the role of young men. We know in 1 John chapter 4, it's lovely to see how the Spirit of God brings before us the role and the just the responsibility of those that are fathers, those that are young men, those that are children. The children, the young in the faith, they know very little. But they do know this. They know that their sins are forgiven. Verse 12, 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, I write unto you, children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So they know that. And then the fathers, isn't it lovely? I just enjoy the fact that there are those that are older in the faith here. And I look into your faces and there's a steady path. There's just a steadiness. There's experience in the path of faith. There's a knowledge of the truth of God. There's a knowledge of the word of God. There's an enjoyment of the things of God. And when there's a father in the assembly, he conducts himself and he teaches perhaps in the assembly. He's known him. He knows the character of the Lord. Our brother spoke of righteousness, the holiness of God, the love of God. And there's that desire as a father that there might be that which is consistent in the assembly as to the righteousness of God, but then that the love of God is displayed. And if any of us ever fail, oftentimes it's in the connection with the love of our brethren. love of our brethren, the love of those for whom Christ died. But we must act in righteousness. That's a father. But then the young men, they've overcome the wicked one. He says, he mentions this first in verse 13, and then he speaks of the young men here, that they are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. You have overcome the wicked one. So I read a little bit about Timothy. He was strong in the word. He knew the word of God. He had studied under the apostle. You know, there was, in Acts chapter 20, we read this little portion of scripture, and how there was a boat full of young men. I take it that they were younger men. They weren't. Travel in those days wasn't for the old and the feeble. It took a lot of energy. It took stamina to get into a boat and to suffer the deprivation and the hardship of travel in those days. So I take it there was youth required some measure of strength, bodily strength. We know that Trophimus was left at Miletum sick. And the apostle couldn't take him with him there. He was left, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But these young men that were with the apostle Paul, I believe as those that were companions of the apostle, it says in the previous chapter, chapter 19, they were companions of the apostle. And they knew what it was to support the Christian testimony in the day that they lived in. They were with Paul. They knew Paul's doctrine. They were suitable to go and to strengthen the saints. And Paul could entrust even the man Silas, we know, with the... Silas, I take it, was an older man. We didn't read about him. But Timothy spent a little bit of time with Silas. I take it that he was one of those fathers among the people of God. And he had an influence upon Timothy because Silas is called the faithful brother. But here, you know, we read of these young men, a whole boat full of them, seven of them, and they were encouraging one another. They were encouraging the saints. They were engaged in the work of supporting the Christian testimony in the day that they lived in. I want to ask you today, I see a lot of young men here. It just encourages my heart to see you here. Encourages more than just me to see you young ladies, you young sisters, taking an interest in the things of God and being here at the conference. And the Lord, you know, names these seven young men that went with the Apostle Paul. Not all of them perhaps were named, but at least those seven were very unique. They distinguished themselves at the beginning of the Christian testimony. And we're right at the end of the Christian testimony. And the ship oftentimes speaks of testimony. And you're here in this little company. It says, being let go, they went unto their own company. And so if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're gathered to the Lord's name. I trust you know why. You've read something of Paul's doctrine, and you're seeking, I trust, in some small measure to support the Christian testimony in the day that you live in. And so these dear men, they went along with the apostle, and we turn to Philippians chapter 2, and we find that there was one exceptional young man that took his Christianity seriously, and God gives us a little bit of a description of this humble man, this humble young servant of God. And he says here in chapter 2 of Philippians, he says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So we know that the Apostle Paul had met this young man approximately A.D. 51. You could read that in Acts chapter 16. And this was, he's writing this probably about A.D. 62. He was under house arrest in Acts, in the book of the Acts. You could read that in Acts chapter 28. And he longed to see, to hear of the state of the saints in Philippi. He loved those saints. He'd been beaten before the assembly was laid, the groundwork was laid for that assembly, if I could put it that way. He and Silas had been beaten together. They'd sang together in the prison in the darkness. They'd prayed together. They were companions. They'd suffered together. They were doing a work with the Lord. We don't know for the Lord. We don't know Timothy was with them, but it doesn't appear that he suffered in the same way. But Timothy had gone along. And Paul had seen something in Timothy's life, and he desired to have that particular exceptional young man come with him and Silas to support him in his work. And so Silas and Timothy and Paul went on that second missionary journey. I just want to say these things to exercise your hearts. You know, when we read this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the time is short. And I look back on my life, and I freely confess that as a young man, I didn't pay serious enough attention. I didn't take my Christianity as seriously as I really should have until a little bit later. Not that I didn't read through the scriptures a couple of times and so on, but I really didn't really study the scriptures and collect books and just take my Christianity as seriously as I wish I had when I was younger. And so I just want to encourage you, as you're younger, start your own library. I have a couple of books under my chair over there. One of them, they're both the Concise Bible Dictionary. If you're a young man, you should have a Concise Bible Dictionary. You should have a copy of the synopsis of the books of the Bible. There are some books that you need to have, and I just want to suggest this, that Timothy, we don't have time to read all these different passages of Scripture, but we know that he was taught of his grandmother, and he was taught of his mother. There was liberty, and the mothers taught her son. She might have thought, you know, I'm going over all these Old Testament stories, and I'm going over all these, the book of the law, those five books of Moses. I don't know how much fruit this is going to bear, but I'm going over it anyway. I'm reading all these passages of Scripture. She didn't know. But when Timothy grew up, he met the Apostle Paul. He was saved. He knew Christ as Savior. And it wasn't a part-time thing with Timothy. Here's a young man. He left all behind. He left all of his ambitions as a young man. He wasn't seeking a great place in this world. He had his eye, his view on heavenly things and the people of God. And so here, God gives us this little picture of young Timothy, a young man. We're not sure exactly how young, but he was younger than Paul. Paul says, as he's in prison, he'd like to know how those saints are doing in Philippi. I got to find somebody that I can send. He sends Timothy, he says. I want Timothy to come to visit you. I laid the price, I laid the foundation for the assembly in Philippi with my blood and with Silas's blood. Timothy was there. He perhaps observed the beating. We don't know. We're not told. Scripture is silent. The veil is pulled over that scene. Timothy had a love for those saints. He loved those brethren. And Paul sent him. He says, I just want those saints to be comforted. I want to be comforted. I want to know what's going on. And there was a strife in the assembly. There were two sisters that weren't getting along together. And it just colored the whole assembly. Just wrought strife in the assembly. Those two sisters. I believe he refers to them as those yoke fellows in the gospel, those sisters that were yoke fellows in the gospel at the end of his epistle here, Philippians, 4th chapter. He does give commendation where commendation is due. And so Timothy, I believe, went and he gave a report to the Apostle Paul because Paul couldn't go himself. Well, it says here of this young man that I have no man like-minded who will naturally or genuinely care for your state. For all seek their own. All are selfish. Not the things which are Jesus Christ. So there's a cause in this world. There's the cause of Christ. This world despises the name of Christ. Despises the name of Christ. Despises the name of the Lord Jesus. But this man, Timothy, unique, energetic. No one in all of the assemblies that Paul knew of, no one of those that were believers and gathered to the Lord's name, of all of those that were servants among the people of God, he said, there's none unique like this man, no man like-minded who would genuinely care for your state. You know, and I've been enjoying lately something that I shared with my son. He shared with me, I should say, in Luke's chapter 10. You know when it says that of the Lord, the Good Samaritan, he said, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. We got talking about how the Lord delights to see us care for one another. Has anyone ever given you a credit card and said, fix this problem? Spend whatever it takes, but just fix this problem. Carte blanche. You know, there was a man who worked for FedEx years ago, and they had a snowstorm out. I can't remember what the state was, something like Wyoming or whatever, and the trucks got stuck and all sorts of things. And his one drive was to get the FedEx packages off of those trucks and delivered, and they had to go. He did everything. He had the authority from the chairman of FedEx to get the job done. Whatever it took, he hired a helicopter. He got those packages out of that truck. He got them over to where they needed to go. He got it done. Carte blanche. God has given you, beloved brother, beloved sister in the Lord, beloved young person, the responsibility to care for his saints. And he's given every provision that you might be cared for at his expense in the assembly. He's made every possible provision. And if you spend anything of your personal resources for the care of God's people, you have there in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, he says, when I come again, I will repay thee. I'll cover the costs. That's carte blanche. Spend whatever it takes. Take care of your brethren. Spend whatever it takes. I'll pay you when I get back. And so he says in Revelation chapter 22 that, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. You won't have long to wait for the account to be set right. Well, Timothy was like this. He was genuine in his love for his brethren. He took his Christianity seriously. It says, all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Naturally speaking, we are selfish. The natural man is selfish. But you know who the happiest people are in the world? The people that are trying to please someone else. Trying to make someone else happy. I see some young married couples here. And if you're just trying to please yourself, it'll not be a very happy wedding, not a very happy union. But if you're trying to please your partner, makes for a happy marriage. To serve the Lord together, to serve the Lord's people together, unselfishly. I speak this to my own shame. I wish that I had used my home for the blessing of God's people earlier in my married life. I wish that I had had the saints more often in my home. I wish that even though I didn't have a lot of money and I couldn't feed them a lot of good food, that I wish that I had had some of the saints in my home earlier than I did. Carte blanche. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. You see one of your younger brethren, someone older that perhaps a little disheartened, discouraged, just having a struggle. Just needs a friend. You know, it says of dear Aquila and Priscilla, we're not told that they had any family, but it says they took Apollos unto them and expounded the way of God more perfectly unto him. And then it says that Apollos was used of God and much more profitably afterwards. And so Timothy, I take it, was this way. He wasn't selfish. Not a selfish bone in him. He devoted his life to the service of Christ. And he says, you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Service. He served alongside the Apostle Paul. I don't want to bring the element of humor into this little address, but I think of how the apostle speaks of this service. It was genuine service, and he served alongside the Apostle Paul. He wasn't seeking for a position for himself. He walked in sync with his brethren. It was genuine work. I just turned to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 3. Our time is just about gone. But I just want to make this comment here. Chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly or out of rank, and not after the tradition which he received of us, or not after the traditional teaching which he received of us. I just say this, young men, walk in sync with your older brethren. Don't be a maverick. The apostle walked with, don't you just see this older man, Paul, with this younger man? They're walking together. There's not a bone of contention between them. There's not a disagreement, not one. This young man and this older man, they're walking side by side. They're walking in rank. You know, the Roman army used to march five abreast. And what he's referring to in 2 Thessalonians here is that one man was out of step with his brethren. There's a whole company of soldiers marching down, but there's one here, he's out of step. He's out of formation. He just sticks out like a sore thumb. How the Lord delights to have us walk together for his glory. Well, Timothy was like this. He served with me in the gospel, but he was genuine in his service. You know, my father-in-law, when he was during the war, he worked in an ammunition plant. He'd hurt himself. He was drafted. He would have gone to war if he hadn't actually hurt himself. He was chopping wood in the forest, and the axe slipped. He just about cut his foot off. So he was exempted from the military service. So he went to work in a munitions plant. And they had different grades of pay for different ones. Well, my father-in-law was a carpenter. It was a very good pay scale that a carpenter had. And so there were others that wanted to be a carpenter and have the pay scale of a carpenter but weren't carpenters. And some of them pretended to be and presented themselves as carpenters when they came to apply for work. One fella got the pay scale of a carpenter. He didn't know how to do the work. So anytime a supervisor came by, he'd start throwing lumber out the window, just one board after another. You know, he just looked real busy throwing wood out the window. And then another supervisor comes by, well, he's throwing wood the other way into the house, into the building. You know, he's throwing wood. It looks like he's doing something, but there was nothing productive. Timothy was productive. He knew the word of God. He loved the saints. He had that carte blanche, affection for Christ and those that belonged to Christ. And there was no show. It was genuine with him. Isn't that a wonderful commendation that Paul gives him? Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So we see that Paul was incarcerated. He wasn't at liberty. Paul, as it were, we live in a day and age when people are trying to lock up Paul, lock up his doctrine, lock up the truth of God, the heavenly calling of the church, as we've had before us this afternoon, lock it up and make you earthly minded. Young men, will you study the word? Will you take your Christianity seriously in your youth? Will you devote your things, your lives to Christ? Will you sink your energies into this world? I can't number the companies that I used to work for. One of them that I owned doesn't exist anymore. Gone. Finished. Don't sink your energies, your time, your affections, your efforts into the things of this world. It's perishing. And I say to you, the time is short. The Lord is just about to come to receive us unto Himself. It's short. Don't devote yourself to the illusion of what this world has. It's going to be a loss, a total loss.